In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One event that followed closely on the heels of Christ's entry into Jerusalem was the cleansing of the temple. But what is the meaning of this act of Christ? What was the point that he was trying to make? One thing we have to understand is that when it talks about the cleansing of the temple, this was not the large structure that actually had the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies that's being talked about, but this was one of the outer courts of the temple. The temple had that building where only the priest could go in, and then it had the court of the men, it had the court of the women, and then it had the court of the Gentiles. A Gentile who passed beyond that court would be put to death. And there are signs that archaeologists have discovered that are written in Greek that warn people that if they're a Gentile and they pass beyond this point, they would be put to death. But there were many Gentiles who were God-fearers. They had heard about the God of Israel. They came to believe in that God. But not all of them actually went to the point of actually converting to Judaism. But they still had a belief. And this was a place where they could come and they could pray. But it was in this court that the money changers and the sellers of various sacrificial animals had set up shop, and they had turned this area that was supposed to be a place of prayer into a place of merchandise. In the Law of Moses, we read about how an Israelite, when they came to the temple to make sacrifices, they were supposed to bring an offering from their own flock, but if it was too far for them, they could exchange their animals where they live for money and then go to the tabernacle originally and then later on the temple, and they could buy an animal so that they could offer sacrifices. Well, by the time of Christ, you had people, Jews, that were spread out across the Roman world into Persia, and people traveled great distances, particularly for the feast of Passover. And according to Josephus, some historians think that he's exaggerating, but according to Josephus, in AD 63, the number of lambs that were sacrificed added up to a little bit more than 250,000 of lambs. So this was a pretty big deal. But one of the abuses that happened, and you find references to this even in rabbinic writings, where various rabbis were complaining that they were charging inside the temple for a pigeon for a gold piece, whereas it was a very inexpensive thing to have bought outside of the temple. The abuse was that if you brought your sacrificial animal to the temple, it was inspected by one of the Levites to make sure that it was without blemish. And apparently, if you didn't buy your animal from the right place, the chances that it was going to pass that inspection were dramatically reduced. And so many people just went ahead and bought from those sellers inside the temple because they didn't want to have their sacrifice refused. But the price of those animals was quite a bit higher than they would have been anywhere else. And also, when they came with money to make offerings, because the law required people to make offerings in shekels, these money changers would take their currency from whatever part of the world they came from and change them into shekels, but they charged them an exchange rate. Now, this was, of course, a system that was ready for abuse, and it often was abused, but this exchange rate that was used, some of that money actually went to the upkeep of the temple and for other things that were related to that, because throughout the time of Christ, Herod's temple was actually still being constructed. It was only about 9 years before the temple was destroyed that it was actually finished. And so it was being constructed during this time, so there was a need for money. And so it wasn't necessarily wrong that the temple was trying to make some kind of money from various things that were going on, but the big issue that Christ had was where it was happening. It was happening inside the temple. It was taken away from the sanctity of this holy place. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Now, obviously, when Christ talks about it being a den of thieves, part of his issue was that there were these kinds of abuses, that people were being cheated. But that wasn't the only issue, because we're told that he didn't just overturn the money changers' tables. He didn't just kick out the people who were selling things. It says that he kicked out the people who were buying things there too, because they too were sinning. Also, in the Gospel of Mark, there's a detail that's added that's not in Matthew or Luke. And it says that Christ would not allow any man that would carry any vessel through the temple. So not only did he kick these people out of the temple, but there were people who would take shortcuts across the court of the Gentiles, because if you were coming from one part of the city to another, it often could save you quite a bit of time if you just took this shortcut. But this was treating the house of God as if it was just a highway that you could go through and not a place where you should treat it with great respect. And so Christ's issue was the lack of reverence that people had. One thing that this tells us, contrary to what a lot of Protestants would tell you, is that Christ believed in the sanctity of holy places. A lot of Protestants want us to believe that one place is no holier than another. You could pray in a McDonald's. I mean, you can pray, but in a McDonald's or anywhere else. But the idea that it doesn't matter where it is, that you could have church there and it wouldn't be any different from having church anywhere else, and that the fact that we are taught to treat churches with great respect and to reverence the house of God, they even will sometimes go so far as to say that it's idolatrous on our part. But Christ saw this holy place, and he demanded that people treat it with the sanctity that it deserved. The other significance of the cleansing of the temple is that the corruption that so many of the people had at this time emanated from the corruption of its religious leaders. So many of them had lost sight of why they were doing what they were doing, and were in it only for themselves, for their own glory, for their own financial reward. This resulted, of course, in the people taking a sinful attitude towards the things of God as well. Also, in the Gospel of Mark, one thing that the Gospel of Mark adds about what Christ said was Christ said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." And I think that this emphasizes the fact that Christ was concerned that here was the one place that Gentiles could come to pray, and these people were cutting it off because they were filling it up with all of this merchandise. They were making it into a marketplace rather than allowing people to come there and to pray. The Jews had lost the sense that they were supposed to be a light to the nations, that they were to be a blessing to all peoples, and they were to bring all people to God. This is something that can happen to us. Very often we can get so caught up in the life of our own church and our own social things that are connected with the church that we forget that we're here to worship God and we're here to be a light to those that are around us. We want other people to become Orthodox. We want other people to come to know the Lord. And if we lose sight of that, we've lost sight of the most important thing. There are social things that we do at church, and all of those things are good in and of themselves. But you have to keep the main thing, and not allow side things to become the main thing. We're also told in the Gospel of Luke that Christ remained in the temple. He taught daily throughout Holy Week. And we will hear about this in the Gospel readings of the Bridegroom Matins. But that the chief priests were already plotting to destroy him, but they weren't able to do anything because the people heard him gladly. And also, Christ was healing people on a regular basis. There were many blind and lame people who were coming to Christ to be healed. And so while he remained there with all these people who were attentively listening to him and their hearts were being changed, and while people were being healed, they dared not touch him. We need to respect the things of God. We need to focus on the right things. But also, as we prepare ourselves for Pascha, we need to cleanse the temple of our souls. We need to put out of our souls all those things that distract from the most important things. We need to keep our eyes on God. We need to purify ourselves and prepare us so that we can properly remember and relive in the services the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.